Welcome to the Countdown Podcast and our review of The Matrix Resurrections. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Not straight into it then today, because I've just remembered, Wayne, that we need to do a little bit of cleanup slash admin duty from our No Way Home review.
Oh, please do go on.
You know, at the end of the episode, we say to people, write back to us, let us know what you think of the review. Well, apparently I pissed off the entire universe,
maybe multi-universes,
when I dared to question the end of that particular film.
May I just say, hey, universe, now you know how it feels.
This is going to be difficult to do. So what I'm going to say is this. Hang around till the end of the episode if you want to hear some spoiler-filled No Way Home feedback about what we've had to say.
Okay.
If you're not at all interested, could give two shits, then no worries. Turn off when we get to the end of this one and the music starts playing. Okay?
Can't wait for you to clear the air, old man.
Clear the air slash... Take him to the ringers and finally understand what it's like for Wayne when he says something ridiculous, apparently.
Not so much fun, is it, Paul?
Reamed. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Reamed, indeed. All right, then. On to The Matrix Resurrections. I don't want to say long-awaited because no one knew this was coming.
No, did I.
Sequel to The Matrix Trilogy this one is directed and written by Lana Wachowski, as co-written by David Mitchell and Alexander Hemon. It stars Keanu Reeves, of course, Carrie-Anne Moss, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, Jessica Henwick, Jonathan Groff, Neil Patrick Harris, Priyanka Chopra Jonas? Jonas, of course, because she's married to a Jonas brother. And Yada Pinkett Smith. The budget, Wayne, what do you reckon it was?
Yeah, good one. Let's think. Look, all I can tell you is it didn't seem as expensive as the first Matrix at all. So I'm going to say to you,
$190 million.
What?
Yep. So far, taken $71 million around the world, though it was released, in fact, maybe even earlier, but day and date onto HBO Max, which means, of course, it's chopped away a large portion of what it might have made. This is, however, not a hit. I think it is very...
It's not a hit? Okay.
Safe to say, it's 148 minutes long. I'm sure that will factor back into proceedings. Wayne, good luck on this one. What is The Matrix Resurrections about?
Yeah, I didn't want to do my usual thing where I just riff it, so I'm going to actually read one for you. All right, here we go. It says this. To find out if his reality is a physical or mental construct, Mr. Anderson, a.k.a. Neo, will have to choose to follow the White Rabbit once more. If he's learned anything, it's that choice, while an illusion is still the only way in or out of the Matrix. That's what it says
here. What the fuck is that?
Hang on, it's trying not to spoil. It says, Neo already knows what he has to do, but what he doesn't yet know is that the Matrix is stronger, more secure, and far more dangerous than ever before. You see, that tells you absolutely nothing.
Whoa, hold on.
But that's the only way to not spoil it, because the whole movie is kind of a spoiler.
Let's just be very general and then get straight into spoilers, because this is incredibly difficult to not spoil.
We've got to go just general.
To say, what did you think overall of The Matrix Resurrections? With this in mind, Wayne, on Rotten Tomatoes, it has an approval rating of 65% based on 274 reviews, average rating of 6.2 out of 10. On Metacritic, it has a weighted score of 64 out of 100 based on 54 critics. And on CinemaScore, which goes to the audience, it has tied for the lowest of the series. 60% of audience members gave it a positive score, with only 46% saying they would definitely recommend it. B negative.
That's a B negative? That sounds like a fucking D to me. It sounds like an F.
I think it marked differently in the States.
Yeah, that whole thing about 60% of people said positive, that's bullshit. Give me a fucking... Anyway. All right, so...
There you are.
Yes, okay. All right, so The Matrix Resurrections. The opening, say, act has my intrigue. I'm thinking to myself, why is it this way? Why are things slightly different? I'm like, all right, I'm happy to just hang around and figure out why all this shit is happening.
Okay,
you do have to tell me that, all right? It starts out with some interesting concepts, okay? What I like is that the movie seems to be some sort of allegory. Not really, but it sort of seems to... The Matrix itself has moved on in the same way that our internet experience in the real world has moved on.
Sure.
We no longer need a phone line, so they don't need a phone to get in and out. And so just things like that are actually quite interesting touches to actually put in here. It feels to me a lot like a Matrix fan film, because it is just... Like the way that the first Matrix was made and, you know, changed cinema forever with all the fucking bullet time.
None
of that shit is happening here, in my opinion, right? They're making this movie a bit like a fucking telemovie almost by comparison, right? So there's no huge concepts, right? I think ultimately, no. This didn't work.
Okay.
It didn't work. Like, I'm just like, you know, it's a little bit up its own ass. It's a little bit fucking... It's very meta, right?
But Matrix to its films detriment. Have always been a bit up their own ass. Even the first one, when you think back on it, it has that element because everything else is so good in it, you kind of forgive it and look over it.
Yeah.
The second one you and I are apologists for.
Yes.
And I rewatched two, all of them, really, in the lead up to this. Two and three. Three for the second time only in my entire life.
I've only seen that once.
Right. And it's not quite as bad as I remember it, but it's fucking terrible.
So if the number one was, let's say, a 10, right?
Yep.
Or whatever.
Very close.
Okay. So then number two, what, 8?
No, number two, 7.
7. And then number three is fucking...
Number three is a 3 out of 10.
Fail. Oh, shit. Huge failure. All right. So that one just fucked itself, right?
I hate the third film.
This is how it was. Everyone went to see that third one because the hype was real, man. Okay.
Oh, so disappointed. The second one, really, to me, its success was largely contingent on how they closed the chapter. I know it's not really fair, but these were structured, particularly 2 and 3. They were shot back to back. They were filmed or written at the same time. They were filmed, as I said, at the same time. Mm-hmm. So one just followed straight on from the other. They are really looking at it as one film.
Exactly.
It's garbage.
Yeah.
It's down to, I guess, average out 5 out of 10. Garbage is too strong a word. There are some amazing sequences. I will stand by the action and reload it as among the best in the series. That fight in the Merovingian's estate, then the ghost twins chasing them.
Oh, yeah.
The car chase scene.
I hate the truck. Yeah.
I love all of that shit so much.
The car awesome. Thing, the truck, the freeway, fucking hell. All right? So, yes, forget about
all
it.
All that stuff elevates the film for me. The third film, I know we're not really meant to be reviewing the whole trilogy here, is such a drop of the ball. It gives up on Morpheus completely. Morpheus literally gets relegated to the side seat in that film. Neo becoming the Messiah is awfully handled. It's clunky. It's so far up his own ass, it's pretentious as shit. And the action in Zion, which is probably the best bit of the film, you don't give a shit about because there's no consequence there. They've created all these new characters. It's such a bad, bad third film.
It's obviously a bolt-on. Now,
having watched them all again, I guess I got to watch this in a slightly different way.
Well, can I ask you about the third one, given that you just watched it? Yep. My understanding is that at the end of the third movie, which we can spoil.
Of course.
The Neo has won, but his body was collapsed, and it's not quite clear what happened to his real body. Is that right?
Well, seemingly Neo lets Smith inside him.
Yes, and then he blows him up.
He blows everything up and destroys Smith, saves the Matrix, and therefore saves the machines. Have that agreement with him with the stupid baby face fucking nanobots thing.
Yeah,
to not destroy Zion.
Yes, right?
They'll let Zion. They'll live coexist in peace and let the humans live over there and do their thing. They do reverentially take, kind of, again, Messiah-like, take Neo's body away. You're not clear what happens to it.
Right. So he may not be dead.
Because he died in the Matrix. He's gone.
So is he dead?
Yes.
He died?
Well, seemingly.
Okay, hang on. Okay.
Neo's back in this film, so this is not a spoiler.
No. But when we get to spoilers, I'm going to ask you fucking questions. Because I remember going to myself that
I'll do my best that I can.
Well, the idea was that the machines agreed that humans could leave and enter the Matrix as they pleased, kind of. Is that right?
I don't know about that.
That was the agreement,
so much that they still needed their power. I don't know if they weren't going to rely upon the power anymore. That's made clear. It's a fucking 4-second back and forth between Neo and this baby-faced avatar of the machines.
Yeah.
And then he just goes in and fights Smith, and then we get this ridiculous fucking final fight scene, which is terrible.
But then Neo did die at the end, right?
Yes.
And Trinity also died previously.
Trinity died before then. She got speared as they crashed the ship into whatever the machine city's called.
Okay, so I'll be asking those questions directly.
I watched this trailer, and I thought it was brilliant. The White Rabbit, Jefferson Airplane song, remixed with that sort of upbeat kind of techno bit.
See, I never watched the trailer.
Holy shit, it was good.
Yeah.
It was so good. I'm like, you know what? Come on, Lana. Show me.
Yeah.
Show me what you can do here.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in with probably raise expectations, though watching Revolutions really did temper them again. So smart move by me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably why I didn't hate this movie. Overall, I am right on the fence. I think it does some things right, and I think it does some things very, very wrong. And the number one chief problem with this is it shits on its audience by trying to tell you that if you only came to The Matrix for the action and the awesome spectacle, you're a dickhead.
Yes.
I did not like that at all.
Dude, the ballet of gunfights and martial arts in the first, at least film, in the first few films, and second films, right? All of that shit is part of the magic of The Matrix.
Oh, is it ever?
The style of, me and the costumes, but that's also a part of it for me. None of that shit's here except a little bit of style is, but none of the fucking action is here. It's not a martial arts film anymore.
No,
it's not a boom.
It's a special effects extravaganza, which is where 190 million comes from.
But it's the wide type, the non-local type, the not Neo fighting was not.
We'll skip around. All right. So in other words, this is polarizing, and I find myself in this weird position of I'm occupying the middle ground. Maybe my nostalgia for the first film is so strong that I wanted to like this film a lot. And like you said, the first 20 minutes are like, whoa, this is cool as fuck, man.
When a character jumps over a car shooting a gun, I was like, that was a cool fucking scene. Yep. So I'm like, you keep it up, fellas. All good.
Yeah. Look, Jess, let's talk about the new addition to the car. We can talk generally. Yeah, Jessica Henwick, I think, was great in this movie. As Bugs.
Asian girl?
Yes. Yes. Very good. I think particularly Neo and Trinity are good in this movie. I think Neo does sort of hangdog kind of drawn really good in this movie.
I mean, I wish he'd cut his fucking hair.
Well, that's the point, though. It adds to that. Hattie's looking slick and shaved and whatever, it wouldn't have worked. But in this film, the way he looks, I think he looks great.
But that's how he looks.
Carrie Ann Moss is ageless. She's incredible.
Oh, big fan of
her. I think their back and forth is what sells this movie, gets it to where it gets it to me. Without me rooting for them, I would have hated this fucking movie.
Oh, agree. Look, if you're not rooting for the heroes, then what else is there?
But I mean, like, in a way, I wanted them. Look, again, I don't think this is a spoiler. Mm. You want them to be together. You really want them to succeed.
You do. What this movie does, since we're talking about it, is that it's I think that the push of the film is that the idea that Trinity and Neo getting together is not just, oh, you want it to happen. It's important for the universe and the world.
Let's say no more about that.
Right? Yeah, okay.
We'll come back to that. Overall, I'm very middle ground. Sounds like you're not even getting to that point, Wayne.
I don't believe this worked, no.
Okay, fair enough. That's our general non-spoiler review. We'll get into the particulars on the other side of Jack.
You can't handle the truth!
All right, the truth is Wayne didn't like this movie. I'm middling on it. Now we're going to break it apart piece by piece.
All right. So,
is there anything you liked, Wayne?
Yeah, let's see.
Apart from the start. Because what they did, the very first basically scene is they redo the first scene from The Matrix.
Dude.
Slightly off as Bugs, Jennifer Henwick,
yes,
watches while her handler, who can now be in The Matrix, cool addition.
This,
I like that.
Agree with that because that was cool.
Is commentating to her and saying, you need to get out of here and whatever else. Then she gets involved in it and she starts to interfere with it. And it turns out this is a modal of a game that's for her, it's The Matrix, but she's going into it in terms of a version of the game as what took place.
Right. And then the idea.
Sorry, I almost talked myself into a corner there. My apologies.
No, that's cool. But then she's going there and the people who are Trinity are played by someone different.
Yes.
And Morpheus is played by someone different.
And even the costume is somewhat different.
So exactly. So it's off, right? On purpose. Okay. It is the idea then that we're inside Keanu's Matrix game and he's running sort of a simulation?
I think she's gone into the Matrix version of the game. This is the whole point.
But
this
does she know she's in the Matrix version of the game?
Yeah, she completely does. Oh. That's why I say, this is different. This is not the way it's meant to be.
Yeah.
Because the whole premise is that the Matrix is reset and the analyst character played by Neil Patrick Harris is the new architect.
Yes.
Right? So has got rid of this matrix, which is all built on cold logic and fact. Ergo.
Yes.
Vis-a-vis.
Thank fuck. All right? Because that was some bullshit.
And instead added in this matrix, which is all about desire and want, which is built off Trinity and Neo, who are still alive, having been rebuilt by the machines and put back into their cocoons and whatever. And now they're yearning for each other. Their love, which spans across 60 years, we're told, has passed between revolutions in this particular film, is the genesis or the central part of the Matrix. And now everybody in this world, which is all of us really when you think about it, are yearning and wanting more than what we have. I thought that stuff is inspired.
Yes.
I really liked it.
The inspired part about that as well, right? Because this is the... Sorry, you asked what I like. This is the good thing about it.
Sorry, I took over.
No, that's cool. That's cool. I was just saying, like, Neil Patrick Harris, right? So he's the new architect. What the transition or the sort of the parallel that I think they're drawing here is that one, machines now are the algorithms and so on are meant to know human minds and they're meant to control them and make you angry sometimes and do this and great that. And that's what algorithms in social media and Google do.
Yep.
That's why Neil Patrick Harris is a therapist. He's a psychiatrist, psychologist or whatever. He knows about minds, right? And I think I liked about it as well. I saw Neil Patrick Harris. He had blue glasses and a blue sweater. I'm like, oh, he's the computer, the blue pill, right?
It's little touches.
So that's
touches.
Good. Those are, also, I noticed it immediately.
Yeah, the blue pills, like, obviously, yeah.
But like, he had blue on, right? And I think like the real guys actually have shades of red. In like, you know, Morpheus at one stage has like an orange and a yellow suit, and you know, sort of shit like that. So it's that visual type cue is good, right?
The Morpheus thing, I agree. The Morpheus thing is interesting. I'm going to bounce around here. This is hard.
Let's bounce around.
It's a 2.5-hour film. It really does cover a lot of territory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Morpheus is actually an agent in the game, right? But therefore in the Matrix and then... But it's somehow broken its programming because it's got... I don't know why. They do explain it and I kind of forgotten.
Yeah, it's not clear.
So Jessica Henwick brings him out of the Matrix. I'm like, hang on, but that's a program. How's that working? Turns out he's like a nanobot baby-faced alien.
Yes.
Now,
I don't necessarily mind that, right? I know you would, right? Because it is totally taking it like, oh, so now you guys can come into reality as well? And yeah. Why? Because you got fucking nanobots. Well, fucking
Smith did that in Reloaded and Revolutions.
Yeah, so it's okay.
Into this human avatar, and I'm just like, that's fucking bullshit. Yeah. That was another stupid thing about those films.
Well, that's the thing though, right? Like, what this feels like to me is that someone said to the writer, say, listen, the WB wants to make a fourth one. I need a new Matrix film, but we can't get that many of the original actors back.
No, this is not true at all.
No?
No, okay, here's what happened.
It seems like he's like, well, right around it then, right around it.
No, so remember, Lana, we don't have the other Wachowski sister. Yes, I can't remember her name now.
The other one neither, I can't either.
Lana says, I'll do this, but only after Warner Brothers said, we're pushing ahead without you if you don't agree to it.
Hence that little...
Hence the scene. Where it's like, Warner Brothers is making us make a fourth game.
Right. Yes, so of course.
This meta commentary and whatever, which I didn't mind.
No, I liked it at first, but I was sitting there going, I'm laughing at this, but should The Matrix be this funny? That's a bit
I'm fine with it. You're making jokes at my expense. I'm here for the action. I'm here for the sort of philosophical ramblings about what is life and what isn't life and whatever else, what is reality. I'm all up in that shit. I love that part.
Yes.
I'm even here, and I really enjoy the fact that this film, although it really does beat it with you over the head with it.
Mm.
Non-binary. How many times do they say that in this particular film? It's binary. It's this, that. We want it to be more than that.
I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think about that.
Time and again, particularly in the first hour or so.
Well, the actual cues that they have in this film are actually, like, for instance, I-O, right?
Yes.
Is I-O or 1-0 binary.
Yep.
Right? And they just little nods like that. Is like, so they called it I-O. You know what I mean? And it's like...
That's a good point. I didn't pick that up.
Yeah. So it's like, there's a heap of little shitty things, like shitty, good things like that in there. Where I'm like, okay, I'm impressed.
I like
that.
The message of it.
Yeah.
I just think it's a little bit ham-fisted, whatever else. But what I don't like is when you're trying to tell me that me, as a huge fan of this series, are a dickhead and dumb because I want action.
Is that what is that how you felt though? Because
I did.
To me, it was more like, because they put stuff in there and made it like Matrix-C to start with, and then it started just becoming like...
Literally, they have scenes where the characters are talking about in that big montage scene, which is to the same Jefferson Airplane, White Rabbit song, but without the cool sort of effects over the top of it.
Yeah.
And they're shouting out, like, ooh, people are here for this and whatever. And Neo, Thomas Anderson's just watching it. He's not really engaging with it. He's so dissociated from it. He's so depressed.
But do you think that's an admonishment of the audience, or are they trying to say, just like with the WB conversation with the CEO guy, right? It's like, no, we're self-aware. We understand that this is... I didn't feel like an attack to me.
I would agree, if not for the fact the action in this film is garbage compared to the previous film.
Yeah, and so this is why, to me, it's like...
They were telling us, we're not going to give you what you want, and if you wanted it, you're a dickhead.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. Fuck off. Fuck off, Lana Wachowski. Don't tell me what I want and what I don't want. Don't deliver something else different to me and then ask me to eat it and love it.
Well, okay. I didn't get all of that, but I understand how you feel that way. Let me ask you this, though. I was talking about how, the actors aren't... We've got a different Morpheus. We've got a different sort of Trinity.
So Morpheus, Lawrence Fishburne has gone on record saying he never got a phone call.
Right.
Never got a phone call. He was never in proceedings because this is 60 years on, Morpheus would be dead.
Yes.
He's too old.
And they needed someone who looks the same?
Well, they went with someone who's similarly, large African American, bald,
but not remotely the same. If you ask me, it's a young guy who is a black.
Look, it's
guy.
An interesting,
yeah,
yeah, and we need Morpheus because Morpheus is who wakes Neo up. There's no way to get him out of this new version of the Matrix without Morpheus. Morpheus is written in stone. I like that idea too, as well.
Yeah, but then the whole thing where it's played by a different actor, and so is Agent Smith, right? It's like, well, why not just do a new act? What's going on here? Is this such lip service to the fans that you have to have the same characters in there, or is it?
Well, because that's the way that they make the point in the original one. The Matrix will come again, and it will go through the same motions again because eventually you go long enough, code breaks.
But then why isn't Neo different? Why isn't Trinity different? You know what I mean?
The constants. Well, they are the one. And, well, as it turns out, the two.
All right. So
what do you think about that?
All right. Fuck. All right. So first of all, Neo can't fly. So I was sitting there and he goes, can you still fly? And he does the boom and the rippling floor. And then he just like, that ain't happening.
I laughed.
Right?
I laughed at that bit.
At it as an old man myself who goes, yeah, you know what I can't do that I used to be able to do? Everything. Right? So that's funny. But
here's a story from earlier today.
but earlier on, good one. But then he's Neo, is he not? If he's not a constant, why is he all of a sudden is it now because he's a bit older?
It doesn't work,
right? And so now, and then that's their excuse to say, yeah, but the chick can fly. So now she goes and wakes up Trinity, she comes back, and all of a sudden she can fly, and it's revealed and they're jumping off a building, I can't fly, and then she holds him up. And I'm like, what up? Then
those effects aren't particularly great.
Those aren't great, bro. All right. And so, and then at the end, it becomes, I don't know if you got this, but this is how I got it. All right. It's like, okay, you know how Neo was the one? Well, now I'm the one and he's not bad. He's like 0.8. Right. He's like, that's what it looks like. And she's like, boom. And it became like, but why? Why is she, give me a reason. What is there some polarity to the Matrix that flips
it to the Matrix is constant. Well, if they are constants along with Smith or the version thereof and Oracle, because they get rid of the Oracle and they get rid of fucking Keymaker and all that stuff, but they don't bother to get rid of the Merovingian. Why?
Oh God, that was the most bullshit cameo. This
ridiculous cameo where he espouses in French and whatever.
I mean, I agree with everything you said, because he's basically saying, you motherfuckers, before all this shit, we had style, we had class. Because let me tell you, that guy, right? Right? He...
And what? Persephone, his wife.
Persephone's wife. Okay.
Didn't come back in this. Ridiculous.
I know. But like, Merovingian, that guy, right? How do you say it?
Merovingian?
Merovingian. Yeah. Okay. In the, I think it was the Reloaded.
Oh, I like this moment. This is the moment where my pronunciation is better than Wayne's.
Merovingian.
Yeah,
isn't there an ing? Anyway, okay. He in the I think it's Reloaded or whenever he was in the Matrix movies, right? I remember like freeze framing it when it came out on video to like, what the fuck has he done with his tie? He's wearing red.
It's literally renowned, known now as a Merovingian knot.
Dude, it's actually an odd knot to do. It's very hard. You need a massive long tie. And also, he's not using a tie. It's a scarf, but he made it look like a tie. That style, motherfucker. All right. So anyway, that was cool, right?
So he comes all
back.
That.
He comes back as a fucking caveman looking hairy cunt, right? And he's all like, yo, motherfuckers, we have this. He's just ranting the whole scene where they're cutting back to action. And I'm like, this is the stupidest cameo, but I agree with you.
It was a dumb cameo, completely unnecessary. Why wasn't he written out of it? It makes no sense at all. Given the rest of the film, there are so many moments here. It's like we want to have our cake and eat too. We want to give our fan service moments, but we want to progress the story in the way that we're trying to angle it to be, and you can't do both.
Well, yes. And let's just get back to this, okay? So this is the question I really had for you, right? End of the first movie, Trinity dead, Neo dead.
Third movie. Yep.
Trinity dead, three, Neo dead, right?
Yep.
What the fuck? How'd they get back into the pods? How are they alive again?
You saw the machines re basically.
So they brought him back to life somehow.
Brought him back to life,
yeah. And Trinity 2, apparently. Yes. For no fucking reason. Because she died like ages ago.
Because they made that decision in that particular moment.
That these two need to be get together.
So clearly the analyst came to the fore, was a voice in there, and then ends up taking over the architect and says, we need these two.
But they can't get together. They just need to both be in the same
proximity, even.
Yes.
Which is weird, but okay.
Also, very tough to follow.
They sense each other. They sense each other, and their want, their desire, their need is what powers this new version of the Matrix. Like I said, that I liked.
Yes, that the only thing about that I liked, right, is that this mirrors perhaps. Have you ever had a moment in your life, Paul, where you met a girl and you dug her and you knew she dug you, right? But she was married, something else happened, whatever. For some reason, you couldn't be together. But you're like, oh. And you have that little nod where you both have an attraction for each other, but nothing comes of it because situationally it can't happen. I believe...
Maybe in my younger years.
I don't think it's happened recently for me. But like, I'm saying though, but that feeling replicated on screen as this is the type of Neo-Trinity relationship is interesting as a viewer.
Yes, that's right? What I'm saying.
So that's not bad. But the idea of the, like, that logic of they can be together but not really, but also they were dead before but now they're talking. That's bullshit.
I didn't have any problem with the reset up of the Matrix. That was all fine. What I was interested in is, so Zion seemingly is gone, though not confirmed, and there's a statue of Morpheus, and he's seemingly dead, though not confirmed.
Well, presumably Io is the new Zion.
Yeah, and then we get, Niobe.
Nairobi, yep.
Nairobi, is that her name?
I don't know.
I think it's Nairobi. Anyway,
Yada.
Whatever.
Right?
Yeah, Yada. And she's clearly 85 or 90 years old. And
that scene went for fucking ever, by the way.
Why would she not believe in Neo? For fuck's sake.
She was there when it all happened. I know, she was there. To see him again, she should have pants.
She put a ship on the line. She did everything for it. It makes no sense in her character arc. For when Neo comes back from the dead.
Yep.
When he is out of the Matrix again.
She should be dropping to her knees.
Absolutely should have been falling down, touching her forehead to the ground and saying, what do you need now? I'll give you everything.
Absolutely.
She is a ridiculous plot device just to create a bit of tension for Jessica Henwick's Bugs' ship and crew. Whatever.
Is that what that was?
Yeah. Now, the other thing is, their crew, no one dies. Not one fucking...
I'm so sorry, Paul.
But think about the original Matrix. How powerful is that scene where Switch goes, not like this.
Oh, yeah, the Nebuchadnezzar, that crew? Most of them die
in the first film.
Yeah, yeah,
when
that was a fucking brutal film.
Joey Pants does the
Joey
betrayal.
Pants does it. Yep, that's right.
Can't remember his name off the top of my head.
Yeah, Cypher.
Cypher, thank you. Yeah. When Cypher betrays them all.
Yep.
And she's on the phone, and she's going, not like this.
Not like this, not like this, yeah.
That's heartbreaking.
It is, because then she just...
Oh, my God.
And he, like, brutally just pulls out.
Oh, they're all being attacked by the zombie swarm. Not a bad idea. I don't mind the zombie swarm when they're all taken over and throw themselves, like, missiles at people out of the buildings and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But no one. I'm like, he hasn't established any of these characters. You're not even prepared to kill one of them. What the fuck is going on here? Raise the stakes. Show me some fucking edge. No.
Well,
none of it.
Okay, that didn't bother me at all, but I understand why it bothered you. But look, the other thing is the first Matrix asks good questions like, how do machines know what puffed wheat tastes like? And the chicken there. So, you know,
tasty wheat tastes
like. Yeah, tasty wheat, whatever it was. And it's like, and now it's like, there's none of that. There's very little of that type of introspection in this. Maybe it hasn't got this. It's one movie as opposed to a trilogy, but it's just very, I don't know. It seems very committed to nostalgia to give you as many beats of the old movie that you can. And I understand that. I understand when you're relaunching after however many years, you want to make sure that the member berry shit happens, right? Like people are like, oh, okay.
Oh, you have to. You have to throw back for 100%. Look, I mean, the most successful film of the year, No Way Home, was all member berry. It was all fucking nostalgia.
Yeah.
This film tries a bit of it, but then isn't prepared.
It tries a lot of it, buddy.
But it isn't prepared.
You don't recreate scenes.
It does the shit bits. Arguably. Well, it doesn't do the cool bits.
Well, did you find it a bit on the nose that when Morpheus is explaining shit to him, there's literally the old movie playing behind him in the screen?
They
I'm like
cutting back to, and I've heard this argument on numerous podcasts, we've already dropped their episode, and I 100% agree. They keep cutting back to a better film. And I don't mind the concept of that, but it got tiresome after a while because I'm like, I just think I want to turn this off and go and watch The Matrix again.
Yes, I know. And that's a real problem. If you have literally play the scene in the movie, it's like, is that really working to make this a good movie?
Whereas the way they did it the first 10 minutes, that's cool because it's the same thing but different.
Well, it's a completely different scene. It's just they're going
shot
through
from
the
a whole different perspective.
Exactly. So that's fine. They played the fucking movie. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a little bit. Look, it became very lovey-dovey and slow in places.
It was slow, but I was always intrigued. As a Matrix fan, I was always intrigued. I was never bored. My wife really liked this movie. She keeps like, you didn't like it that much? Oh,
really?
I thought it was good. Not that she is the barometer of what's right and wrong.
No,
but
nor like,
am I,
no,
or you.
But it's always good to hear like an alternate viewpoint,
I guess,
or whatever.
You know, I was watching with an appreciative audience.
Absolutely, and that makes a total difference. Yeah. Now, there was actually a moment where I'm like, I don't know if I'm buying Doogie Howser as the big bad guy. Like, I just didn't, he didn't sell it for me. The original architect, you knew he felt like he was above
Colonel
humanity.
Colonel Sanders, yeah.
Yeah, Colonel Sanders. But he felt like he was above humanity. And so, you know, this is just fucking Barney Stinson.
He's also a coxman. Maybe I could be the boss of a Matrix, says Wayne.
Oh my God.
Two things. One, Neo doesn't fire a gun.
Didn't think about
Neo
it.
Neo does barely any martial arts. All he does is wave his hands at people and knock them away.
Can we talk about that? Literally that last scene where it's like, shit's happening, so I wave my hands and then I just deflect it.
It looks great.
Then I
the
wave
trailer,
more cunts, wave
in a
more
moment
cunts.
When a missile's flying at them and he deflects it away.
Yeah, that's Jedi shit.
That's
if it
cool.
Yeah, but this is...
But not
is,
as your only power for
dude,
the entire film.
He should have fought all those cunts off. Yep. Not fucking, here's my wavy hands. Like,
and
that
we
was
know
weird.
He's capable. Either that he's just reached that point now, which I think I'm there 10 years before Nick Keanu, but he just can't move the way that he used to move.
All right, so
and they shot around it.
Literally, that would have to be what it is. Because it's like, hey, Keanu, we got this scene where you're on a bike and you got to do this shit,
I don't
right?
think it is that. I actually think, and when we see John Wick 4, though it's been delayed by a year, I think we're going to see him do some fucking magnificent physical moves.
Yeah.
I think this is, again, them holding the line on, we're not going to give you cool action. Fuck you. We don't want to do that. We're not about that. We're beyond that.
They're purposely withholding action from us. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I just think we're not going to go down that line. We're not going to provide that. Trinity's husband in The Matrix is played by Keanu Reeves' stunt double in the original trilogy, Chad Stahelski, who was a co-director on John Wick.
So he's into all the action.
Yep.
And fact, he wants to film
I think
that
he's
shit.
The director of the John Wick series. His other co-director, I've forgotten his name, went on to do Deadpool. Who did Deadpool?
Deadpool was Tim Miller? No.
Yeah, sorry, Deadpool Tim... 2. Deadpool 2.
Oh, don't know.
David Leitch.
Okay.
So this is the guy who has done the John Wick films. And he's in this film, not as a fucking stunt coordinator, and we don't get any really great, awesome, amazing choreography or stunts.
This is, that's a very distinct choice. Like, just make Neo wave off all the danger. It's really catch-all, do you know what I mean?
Even more than this, the guy who everybody sees Thomas Anderson as, right? That vision.
Can you explain that to me?
Right. That's actually Carrie Ann Moss's real husband.
That old dude?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No.
He must be rich.
Well, I read this somewhere.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he got to be rich. Wait, he's an actor.
Well, didn't have much acting to do. Just look surprised and step off a building in slow-mo.
Okay. Well, what is the deal with that? Okay, like so Neo, we see Neo as Neo.
Yep.
The entire Neo actual sees world Neo sees as some older sort of fellow with long hair, right?
Yep. Long sort of balding.
Baldy kind of gray hair. Yep. Yeah. Yep. All right. So why? What's that about?
I guess we're protecting him. So even though his name's Thomas Anderson.
So they just aged him up to make people think that he's
not him? I don't know.
This is it's a real fucking
one last
a little on the nose.
I know this is gonna be the longest review we've done in a long time. There's a lot to unpack here for at least one fan of The Matrix, and I think you're a qualified fan.
Hmm.
Why did Agent Smith do what Agent Smith did at the end? Why did he turn on the analyst and help them get away?
Okay, so for my take on it was that the idea behind this new Agent Smith and him looking different, I'm just, you know, I'm chopping out the movie here, is that he basically rose above being programmed by the Architect and the Matrix, and so now he's a bit of a free agent. And maybe it happened because Neo blew him up. I don't know. Or went inside him. I don't know, right? But now he's like, I'm not down with this fucking Architect cunt. Like,
Then why was he fighting him in that one scene where he just, again, in the middle of the film, where the Merovingian turns up?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Maybe he had a change of heart just at that moment. I know. I'm not saying it's good. I'm telling you, this doesn't work as a movie. This movie fails for me. Yep. Right?
All right. Well, on that note, I think we've talked about it enough.
All right.
I'm sure there's many, many other bits and pieces we could pull to pieces, but sure, we do like to try to keep it to a half an hour or so for our reviews, and even 20 minutes when we don't have much to say. We do about this one. Anything else you want to say, first of all, Wayne, to give your overall impression and then final score for The Matrix Resurrections?
Yes. Two meta. And at one point, fucking, like, Morpheus says callback. He actually says that. Oh, I don't know the call. I'm like, this is too much now. So it's a little funny for me. So, no, didn't work, unfortunately. As we say in Australia, yeah, nah.
What's your score?
It's 49.
You know what? I was about to hit the Negatron button, but my score's like 3 bits higher. It's 52.
52? Yeah, I can get. You know what? Here's the thing. I said it fails, but I would actually still say, look, 53, but it fails. I would almost get along with that. I know that means like
it didn't fail for me because I was entertained the whole time. Bottom line is
53. You didn't like this fucking movie.
I didn't love. No, 2.5 stars. I didn't love this film. I'm disappointed by it. It is, however, the third best Matrix film. It's so much better than Revolution.
See, I think it was a good call, you actually talking, like watching the fucking...
It probably did help in some ways.
It definitely helped. I watched a video online.
A lot of people say it's the second best Matrix film because I hate Reloaded, whereas I've got time for Reloaded and probably always will. So I own it on 4K, for
Boom.
Example.
Boom. So
this I will never own on 4K.
No, man. That's what I mean. This looks like... It's not, but it looks like it's a telly movie by comparison.
It's okay shot until the special effects have to take control. They haven't in 20 years worked out how to make him look flying any better. That's bizarre to me.
Yes, and... The whole, I guess if he flies and stuff, he can just solve any problems.
He, them, whatever.
Yeah. But it's, yeah, it doesn't, it's not, for what it is, it's not a Matrix film. It doesn't belong in the canon.
I just think if you didn't want to make the movie
and
Lana didn't, then their parents died and Warner Bros. Said, we're making this without you, but we'll give you first pass at it. You want it, it's yours. Ah, oh, fuck it. All right, I'll do it. And so off Lana went and we took David Mitchell, who's the guy that wrote Cloud Atlas, and then they made Cloud Atlas together.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure the other person's a bit of an author too. And the music is god awful by comparison to Don Davis's incredible original score. And I went up, looked up, is Don Davis dead? No, he's alive. Why wouldn't he bring Don Davis back? For fuck's sake.
So you're talking about the score, right? You said the score was shit. I think
the score is disappointing. And then we don't even get the needle drops that we used to have in the original Matrix. It's one of the best soundtracks of all time.
What's in there?
Well,
We've got
Rob Duggan's Club to Death, which is just...
That's right. Yeah, I remember those actual...
Rage Against the Machines, Wake Up. And then they do this bullshit fucking female cover of it at the end of this film.
Is that what it was?
I flipped the table and walked out.
I heard that and I was like, I bet you Paul's pissed about that.
This is garbage! Garbage. Anyway, I've crapped on enough.
See, it's
52
even,
for me, it's 49. 52. Yeah, and it's my fandom. My nostalgia got me over the line. It's not a good film. I don't think... I couldn't recommend it. It certainly is Omicron times. Don't go and sit at the cinema. Fucking get it on HBO Max and watch it there because that's safe in your own home.
Absolutely.
Now, if you're a fan, it's worth watching, but you've already watched it if you've gotten this far in the review. And if you want to let us know what you thought of The Matrix Resurrections or indeed The Matrix Trilogy, you can do so via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at thecountdownpc. You can like and follow the show through Podbean. Tell a friend, get them involved, help us out. We don't often put out a plaintive request these days, but we're back there again. So, you know, fucking do it. Just tell
go
everyone.
Ahead, go ahead. Give us a review and be as honest as you like.
And if you're listening, and I looked on Reddit the other day, or actually I didn't because I don't do Reddit, but I just happened to type in, I was looking for a show that we'd done or not, and someone on Reddit had in a movie podcast recommendation spruiked us and just said, takes a bit of getting used to, but they're good.
They're talking about my laugh.
No, didn't specifically call that out at all. It's the two Aussie blokes, blah, blah, blah. Thank you if you're listening to this episode. Really appreciate you doing that on Reddit. Yeah.
I love Reddit.
Yeah. Now, remember, stick around. It's going to be the longest episode in the history of the show. For
okay. Now Paul's going to fucking clear the air, everyone.
I'm going to now get us out of the show, music cue, and then I'm going to come back with No Way Home feedback. Thanks so much for joining us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard. When one of your favourite films has a Lego sequel and it just doesn't hold up.
Fuck off.
We'll catch you next time. See ya. Alrighty, you're back here for some No Way Home feedback and spoilers. Please, can I be no more clear than this? If you've not seen No Way Home yet, turn the fuck
Spider-Man, No Way Home, ain't seen it, want to see it, back out. Come back later.
From the Chef Ben Randall, the Chef Ben Randall, because there's only one as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. Fellas, just watched No Way Home, renting it, a theatre for my son's 13th birthday.
Holy shit, what a dad. What a gangster.
What a dad for a dozen of his weird friends. It was the best way to watch it. A couple of notes about your review. When Peter's moving into his apartment, he has his GED books.
Yes.
Right?
So he's taking high school again.
Yeah, so he'll graduate high school. It's not difficult to find a cash apartment, so I don't think he has much to worry about there. Legal? Yeah, questionable. Also, dude could become an Uber driver or something. That company will hire anybody. My understanding of the final spell Dr. Strange has to cast that Peter Parker is effectively erased from history. I presume he still has access to some Avengers resources because Spider-Man still exists. Maybe some folks have some very confused memories, i.e. Washington Monument.
Yes.
That's easy enough to shrug off because in moments of trauma, your memory gets all wiggly anyway. Yes.
So if he has to dress up as Spider-Man, go to the Avengers, whoever, right? Compound or whatever.
Really let him in.
So who are you really?
Hey, Peter, take you know, who are you? Spider-Man, who are you? We don't, can't remember. We don't let you walk through here without masks.
Yeah, it's really, I'm Spider-Man. Like,
I just don't think it works.
Anyway. Yeah, no, it's tough. It's tough.
So all this is to say, I think the final spell works. And I think it does its job within the mechanics of the story as well. That I'll agree with.
So what you're saying is, Ben, anything that had to do with Peter Parker.
Magic.
Just magically disappears. So Flash's book disappears. Motherfucking all the Mysterio fucking shit disappears. I know, but that's what I'm saying. That's the only way this happens. Otherwise, Flash has got a book about a cunt no one cares about. Or, for some reason, Flash never wrote the book because he never knew Peter. You know what I mean? It's like all that shit has to go away.
What I really like is this. But it doesn't make that clear. It just says you forget but Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Right, but I'm saying that if that's the case, that has to be the case. If the spell fixes it,
it's clear.
No, it's not. I agree.
Right. You're primarily asking questions that don't belong to this story. The spell finished out this movie. Your questions about how a dude with no past operates in New York are for the next movie. I like that.
What's that? That
I really like.
Your questions about how a dude with no past operates in New York are for the next movie. Oh, I see what you mean. How is he going to be?
If they address it then.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Excellent. Absolutely. No, I agree.
I like this. That's setting up the interesting underplot for Spider-Man 4, : no credit history. Thank you, Ben. That's an excellent email. Now, one more that we had as well, which I want to highlight from Michael Hill, who says, hey, gents, I 100% agree that this movie is full of issues, but I think there are a couple of things to take into consideration that you did not.
Okay.
I think Wayne said, but I have listened to other reviews, so it might have been elsewhere, that the spell only worked on MCU Peter Parker. That has to be the case because he was a focal point of the spell. The only reason the first spell was more open was because it was botched. Okay,
right.
Yep. If a target for a spell doesn't exist, then a spell will fail. This is using role-playing game logic, but seems sound.
Paul's a big fan of that.
A long time between drinks. The first spell was slowed by Strange, and when he completed the new spell, suddenly the old spell didn't have a target because Strange didn't know who Peter Parker was. Thus, it failed and the multiverse was fixed. There is no explanation for why everyone in the sky was so huge, though. Maybe that was all the celestials in the front and all the humans and such behind them. Nah, I got nothing.
No, I think what happened was this is a projection of the people coming through, and for some reason it looks like that.
Doesn't make any sense.
Well, here's the bigger question. How come only bad guys are coming back? If everyone who knew Peter was coming back, it should have been good cunts who knew him coming back as well.
Like Mary Jane.
Exactly. Mm. And fucking Gwen Stacy cunt. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So...
Not that Gwen Stacy is a C word.
No, she's lovely. I love Emma Stone.
Yes, I am apparently the cunt. Everyone will forget Peter Parker. People, not records. Peter still exists, but no one can remember him, so he can't just start going to school because the teachers don't know him. But everything says he's a student there, which means he fails on the basis of attendance.
Nah.
He still has legal documents, so he can still get an apartment and hope. I don't know.
See, but if so the memory of Peter Parker. Yeah, see, it's a tough one. It actually makes more sense for the spell to have fixed no one ever heard of him, and that would explain why MJ and shit just fucking look right through him and stuff. Because if it's just if he's just got some, like, up till the age of 5 kind of shit, if he's got that documentation, then there's still enough of a paper trail for people to remember Peter Parker, which is against the spell.
Exactly.
So you see, it doesn't quite play.
I don't think it does. I think Sam Hurley from the Movie Reviews and Twinkie News podcast has been very vocal in supporting our take that some of this doesn't work. So, look, it works for you. Fine. But can we just all get off my ass because I dropped it? From 80 to 73 because of my issues with this. And as much as Michael and Chef Ben have done a good job of explaining some of it, it doesn't explain all of it. It does.
No.
In the internal consistency of this world, it doesn't fly. But yes, the fact magic does magic, sure. Okay, if I didn't give a fuck and I wanted to let things go like that, then I'd probably have a lot more 5-star films in my repertoire. I don't. I'm sorry. I apologize to you if I have mortally offended you. If you will no longer listen to this show, or at least my MC reviews, then... Sorry.
It's so funny to see Paul feel just like disenfranchised because it doesn't happen a lot. So absolutely fine. What I will say is that this, I think overarchingly, we need to understand that the Marvel films and the backtracking and the putting things together and fitting Sony works into it and stuff is never going to go off without a hitch. It's always going to be like fucking a bit dicky, you know?
It's a superhero film, for fuck's sake.
And don't get me wrong, we should still ask the question because that is what fans do.
Well,
we sit there and go, does this make sense?
The critics also do.
Yes, talk about it.
Like it or not, you listen to us because we're idiots who think we're critics.
Exactly. and here's the thing though, right? But if your favorite thing doesn't give you chatter, if it doesn't generate interest, if it doesn't have us talking about it, why do you think we do this fucking show? Our Countdown Listener Community, if anyone hasn't seen it, join up, right?
Yep.
That thread about Spider-Man is fucking awesome. Just the fact that we're talking about this, I love it. So remember, sometimes pleasure is its own reward.
I'm going to give you a little spoiler here because this will be out well before. This film is still in my top 10 of the year.
Yeah.
Right. 73, unfortunately, in 2021, fucking makes my top 10
of the
year.
No one really had that, but I understand. Like, Paul,
it's a good film. I liked it. Like, if I drop this to a Hawkeye level of 51.
Which is really ridiculous. Yeah. If you're going to get pissed about
way,
Paul.
I upped 43 to 51 after finishing the last 2 episodes.
It still deserves way more than that. But okay, if there's something to be angry about. Paul's fucking mistreatment
that
of Hawkeye.
I get, but fucking 73 people are like...
That's fine. It's fine. So this is broadcasting.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening to even this last part of the longest review we've ever done in the show's history. It's probably longer than this week's episode, no doubt. We will catch you next time.
See ya.